It's Columbia Morning. It's Thursday, the 21st of September. News Talk 1400 KFRU. And I take suggestions for doing interviews, and then I do some investigation and say, yeah, I think I'd like to know more about this. I really like this particular way that is introduced on the website, Audubon Conservation Ranching. It looks like you might be able to get something on a sign almost that says, grazed on Audubon certified bird friendly land, audubon.org/ranching. My guest is going to tell us what all that means. He is Chris Wilson, and he joins us now. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing well also. Now, do you work for Audubon Society?
I do. I work for National Audubon Society, or we call it Audubon for short. So my job spans the whole part of our program, which extends throughout the Great Plains pretty much from the Dakotas to South Texas.
Oh, my. And you're based in the Kansas City area?
I am.
Let's talk about what it is that you do there. What do you spend most of your time doing?
Well, I spend a lot of my time coordinating all of the vast complexities of our conservation ranching program, which includes everything from working with farmers and ranchers, doing on-the-ground management plans, to prior to that, we spent a lot of time developing our standards for our program, which, of course, is a certification program on food products. Thus, it also entails a whole lot of work with retailers to create the marketing side of that, to drive consumer interest and to educate consumers about what we're all about.
When I think of Audubon, and I think that I'm kind of trying to represent several people, when I think of Audubon, I think birds. How do birds figure into what you just said?
Well, you're exactly right. Audubon comes at this from the standpoint of birds and bird conservation. Basically, Audubon recognized years ago, in looking at what was happening with grassland birds, that grassland birds were really, populations have been plummeting for decades, especially, you know, for this grassland bird suite of species that depends on grasslands for their survival. So, you know, since the late 60s, since they started doing these breeding bird surveys, when the data started coming in to today, most of these grassland bird species have declined something in the range of like 40 to 45% in population numbers over that time. And it's estimated that over the next 20 years, a lot of these species, some of which are fairly common that we think of today, like eastern meadowlarks and things that we just take for granted, are going to lose about another 50% of their population if it continues the way it's going. So Audubon had to look at this hard and say, what can we do to impact grassland bird conservation across the Great Plains? And that's kind of how this program came about.
I like the grassland birds. I'm so glad that you mentioned the eastern meadowlark. I love meadowlarks. Would this also be like whippoorwills?
Yeah, whippoorwills are more of a open woodland species, but they're also a species that has faced some challenges over time. I would say in Missouri specifically, some of our key species, greater prairie chicken would be a big one. It's probably facing the biggest challenges. But, you know, things like bobolink, dick thistles, and upland sandpipers, and loggerhead shrikes, and henslow sparrows, those types of things are on our target list for tallgrass prairies.
So tell me this. So if I were a rancher, if I had a lot of land and I thought, you know, I love this land and I want to help out, I want to reach the standards that would be set by Audubon, what would be the process?
Well, first of all, you need to have a basic level of native grass. In Missouri, we have regional habitat protocols that are specific to each region. So in Missouri, at least 10 acres or a fourth of your place has to be in native prairie. So that's a start. You have to be committed to actually either having or bringing back native grassland on your place. You can't really successfully enhance habitat for grass and birds with just fescue. So there's that. But, you know, the start is probably a land manager from the Missouri Department of Conservation would come out. They're a key partner with us here in Missouri. They would come out and meet with the landowner, talk about what's possible, look at their place, think about what a habitat management plan might look like, see if the farmer or rancher is interested in pursuing such a thing, and then just talking about all the other standards that our certification entails that they would have to meet in order to qualify and be certified under our program.
What state would you say has adopted this the most? Where have the farmers or ranchers been most likely to do this?
Well, you know, Audubon piloted this in the central part of the country. Missouri was one of our early states. So we've got, you know, Max Allager with the Missouri Department of Conservation has been working with something like 15 ranchers over the last several years, implementing bird-friendly grazing practices on lands. So that's been happening in Missouri for a few years with our pilot sites, but I would say from a standpoint of just land acreage-wise, the Dakotas, North Dakota, South Dakota, we've got several ranches up there that are already certified and have beef going to stores. That's something in the neighborhood of 120,000 acres worth of land. Wyoming, we've got another something like 160,000 acres of land that is being certified as we speak that will hopefully soon find a connection to retail. So those are the places where we're really starting to accumulate the big acreage. But there's vast opportunities further south in Texas, Oklahoma, even the Flint Hills of Kansas, to have major impacts across the Great Plains.
Again, we're talking to Chris Wilson. He's with Audubon, and we're talking about the Audubon Conservation Ranching. So this is pretty neat because it seems from what you've just described to me, as you're talking about getting perhaps beef to market and having this as also a place where you could raise livestock, while at the same time preserving native grasslands, which at the same time helps to keep those bird species and the bird types that you were mentioning a while ago. This is multi-purposed.
Without a doubt, and the reason it's so interconnected is because grazing is a central part of grassland ecology and has been for millennia. So as long as there's been grasslands in the Great Plains, there's been large grazers moving about those grasslands, forming the landscape, creating patches on the landscape, altering structure, eating the forage. You know, the forage is adapted to grazing. The habitat mosaic was a result largely of a fire-grazing interaction. And birds adapted to that. You know, bird species, you have a whole suite of bird species throughout the Great Plains grasslands, each of which has very specific habitat requirements. Some of them like super short grassy areas, some of them like tall grass. Some of them need a mix. Like quail and prairie chickens need a little bit of this and a little bit of that for nesting cover, and then shorter areas of fair ground for their chicks to move in between taller grasses. So historically, this was a very mixed landscape, a diverse landscape where you had, it was really like a patchwork, a mosaic of different grassland habitat types. It wasn't this tall, continuous little house on the prairie view that we think of as, you know, head high grass as far as the eye could see. That was very much not what the Great Plains was like. If it were, we would have only had bobolinks and a couple other species. The reason we have a whole suite of grass and birds that are adapted to every part of that mosaic is because that mosaic has been there for, you know, tens of thousands of years. So this program really is just trying to get ranches and farms managed in a way that sort of tries to recreate that heterogeneity on the landscape.
Yeah, well, that's the best description, I think, of the native grasslands, because I did have in my mind that it looked pretty simple or it looked pretty uniform, but you've just described it to be something completely different, and described it as why that is good, because it does attract the different types of birds. Do you mind if I check a phone caller who might have a question for us, okay?
Sure.
Caller, do you have a question or comment about our program? Hi.
Yes, sir, I have both. Very interested. I'm one of these guys that I really miss a big, fat bird sitting on a fence, middle lark, and the singing. I just think that's one of the greatest things in the world. But also, do you offer any, like, incentives, monetary incentives to, cause, you know, you've got this monoculture of fescue all over Missouri and most of the Midwest. Is there any way that you guys is there government programs, or do you have a program to help people convert this to?
Okay.
Yeah. I'll just hang up and listen.
Yeah, keep listening off the air. I think you're going to hear it easier that way. What do you think about that? He says, what are the incentives? How do you entice people to do this?
Yeah, so a couple things. The Missouri Department of Conservation has a program where they've gotten some grant funding from from the USDA, NRCS, to help ranchers in certain areas of Missouri, if they qualify, to do some of this work to plant native warm season grasses, convert fescue pastures over to native grasslands. So that work can be done. There are also ways to sort of interseed and diversify fescue pastures just to make them more usable for birds. So there's a little bit of cost share funding available depending on the program and if you qualify to do that. But absolutely, you're spot on. You recognize the fact that fescue is the number one driver of loss of bird habitat in Missouri and elsewhere. Fescue has become the background habitat type across Missouri, and unfortunately very, very few birds can do, or wildlife in general, can use fescue for much. So that is a big issue, and that's what we address in every habitat management plan, is how we're going to diversify this farm, how we're going to convert some fescue over to native grass, and then we also, the MDC helps the rancher do that through some cost share funding.
Well, I'm sorry to say we're out of time right now. If someone wanted to contact you or Audubon for more information, what's the best way to do that?
You can go to our conservation ranching page, which is audubon.org/ranching. You can email me directly at cwwilson@audubon.org. The best way, I would say.
All right.
And I should say, if you haven't already said it, Root Cellar, the Root Cellar in Columbia is our first retailer. They're going to be carrying our product very soon. So get on Facebook, find Root Cellar's web page or Facebook page, and that's exactly where you're going to be able to support our program in Missouri.
Excellent. Root Cellar for those of you here in Columbia, and also audubon.org/ranching online, or contact me and I'll get you in touch with my guest, Chris Wilson from Audubon Conservation Ranching. Been a pleasure to talk to you. Very educational. Thank you for your time today.
Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
It's News Talk 1400 KFRU.